Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is our text. This morning, our gospel reading from John 15, verses 1 through 8, is all about the vine and the branches. So I'd like to begin by tracing this theme of the vine and the branches all the way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden, and then forward into our lives. And it goes like this, really simply. First the vine, then the branches, and finally the fruit. That's the way it worked in the garden back in the beginning. When the vine was true and all the branches were still attached, before there were storms, drought, disease, ruining the harvest and breaking the branches and killing the vine. First the vine, then the branches, and finally the fruit. Why, even after the fall into sin, we hear that two people carried a single cluster of grapes on a pole in the land of Canaan. So can you imagine what it was like before sin? It was a harvest of righteousness there in the Garden of Eden, a harvest of righteousness between two people, Adam and Eve. Every moment, every day. So much fruit, the best fruit, so long as they remained living branches of the true vine. But of course they didn't. And I don't need to repeat that whole story to you. You know well how Adam and Eve became disattached. It started with the serpent who grew up like a wild parasitic vine, and he wrapped himself around Eve and he wrapped himself around Adam. And the serpent whispered in their ears and said to them, abide in me. Abide in me, and you won't have to bear any fruit. You'll just take it. Take the fruit. Take as much as you want, whenever you want, from whoever you want, wherever you want, just because you want. Take the fruit. Treat yourself, woman. Treat yourself, man. Stolen fruit is to die for. And so they took. They ate, and they died inside, and their lives became fruitless every moment, every day, so long as they remained dead branches of the false vine. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why was he there? He was looking for something. He was looking for fruit, but he couldn't find any. Just leaves, leaves, lots and lots and lots of leaves, hiding a whole lot of nothing. Underneath, the branches were bare. Sometimes I feel like that. They were naked, without fruit, and ashamed. And it was only a matter of time until the leaves withered and the branches started just dropping off and the family tree became barren, filled with death instead of life. God had made a garden alive and fruitful. Man turned it into a desert, dead and fruitless. And after that fall into sin, they sweat and they suffer, but what do they bear? Sin. Nothing but sin. You may know the saying that you can't squeeze juice out of a turnip. You also can't get fruit from a dead branch. And that about sums up the entire Old Testament. It's the story of God planting a people and replanting that people and grafting branches onto that vine only to watch them cut themselves off. You tell me, what branch says to the vine, I don't need you, get lost. And yet that's what God's people said to him. It was like a never-ending ice storm. Sin just stripped the vine of its branches again and again and again. until the land was littered with dead branches and no fruit. But there in the Garden of Eden, God had planted another seed after Adam and Eve sinned. A little seed, tiny little seed, just waiting to germinate and sprout. The seed of the woman. That seed would crush the serpent's head. How long could such a seed survive, especially in a barren world like this one? How long can that seed lie hidden and dormant? 1,000 years? 2,000 years? More? And what kind of seed would it be? Because that new seed can't come from the same old stock, the same old diseased and fruitless stock. That wouldn't do any good. This seed had to be different, an undefiled, holy, and divine seed. So there could be a new vine, undefiled, holy, and divine. So God planted his own son in the womb of Mary. She conceived and bore that son and gave him the name of Jesus. And he grew up and bore good fruit, true fruit, beautiful fruit. He gave life and he gave health and he gave wholeness to those around him. And he gathered a people to himself. And that's when we hear the reading from tonight, from today. It was the darkest night that the world has ever known, and Jesus had the vine, had his branches gathered around him, and he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches, in me you bear much fruit." And then came the hardest part of all, because for all the fruitless, lost, dead branches, that vine had to be dug up, cut out, staked up, trellised, and planted again. This time in the ground. Now in the place where he was crucified, John tells us there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So they laid Jesus there. They planted him in a garden, and they left him for dead. Of course they should have known, right? They should have known the gardens aren't for dead things, but for living things. But they forgot. And while they slept and rested and slept, something happened. The vine rose again on the third day. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He rose again with new life. He rose ready to receive old dead branches into himself, ready to let his sap run through them and give them life and bear fruit that you thought was impossible. First the vine, then the branches, and finally the fruit. That's the way it works in the vineyard, the way it works when the vine is true and the branches are attached. Life and health flow from the vine to the branches, and they bear fruit. And that's good enough, I guess, if all you want is a little fruit, a few grapes here and a few grapes there. Just let it go. But our Father in heaven is the gardener, and he won't settle for branches that only bear a grape every now and then. He won't settle for branches where he finds leaves, lots and lots of leaves hiding a whole lot of nothing. He wants his branches to bear not just fruit, but much fruit, for the whole world to be filled and fruitful and overflowing with good. God the gardener wants the branches to bear much fruit, but I fear that sometimes we're content to settle for a whole lot less. Are you satisfied with mediocre fruit, or no fruit, or bad fruit in your life? Because I can tell you right now that God isn't satisfied with it, which means that he isn't done with you or with me yet. He won't settle for less, not from his branches, not from those who have his strength and his sap flowing through them. You see, this isn't just about rooting out sin. It's about the Father tending the vine so that it bears good fruit and brings forth good works in your life and in mine. And he does this by tending and by pruning, by cutting away and by forcing new growth. So are you willing to be pruned that you might bear more fruit? Are you willing to have the dead wood cut out, to have the dry branches in your life burned, to have strong manure fertilizing you? Do you want to be strong, healthy, mature, fruit-bearing branches, or are you content to be small, weak branches? So what needs pruning in your life? You probably know, at least a little bit. Is it your language that needs to be pruned? Is it your thoughts and desires that are soiled with sin? Is it your lovelessness, your harshness, your judging of others that needs to be cut back and trimmed off? And then what of the good, wholesome, beautiful thoughts, words, and actions for which you were created? God expects and desires and longs for good fruit, and he won't be finished with you until he has it. He created this world. He created you to be fruitful and full of life. So God would not only work in your life to prune away what is bad and dead, but he would work in your life. He would fill you with his own life, with the sap that comes from him, that you might bear much fruit. So what is it that cleans us? What is it that prunes us? What is it that gives us life? Already you are clean, Jesus says, because of the word I have spoken to you. If you want to bear much fruit, then abide in him and abide in his word, and let his word be at work in your life. Let it dig into the corners. Let it fertilize the barren places. Let it grow and strengthen you from outside in. Any attempt to bear good fruit apart from Christ, any attempt to bear good fruit outside of him is simply fruitless. If we depend on ourselves, the fruit will never be good. So find your refuge and your strength in him. Come and receive the word of your Lord. Hear that absolution and let that bear fruit in your life. Your sins are forgiven. Come to the altar where the vine that bore good fruit and was crushed for you gives its very life into your mouth, that you may live in him. I am the vine, Jesus says, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is why you are here this morning, because you know this. You feel this, you see this in your life, that apart from Christ, you can do nothing. And so you are here to abide in him. You are here to be connected to his life and his salvation and his forgiveness and his promise, that you might bear much fruit and bring glory to the Father, and so prove that you are his disciples. First the vine, and then the branches, and finally the fruit. And don't despair, dear brothers and sisters. Don't despair if you look at your life and see so much that you wish were there that isn't. Because know this, that as it was in the beginning, so it will be in the end. As it was before sin, so it will be after sin. And there will be an after sin. I promise you that. Jesus died to sin once for all, and he lives now for us. So your future in Christ, dear brothers and sisters, is this: a future of being always and wholly connected to the vine, of abiding in him permanently and forever. And then every moment, every day, for all eternity, so much fruit, the best fruit, as you remain a living branch of the true and living vine, Jesus Christ. God grant this for his sake. Amen.